You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
In studio this time, we've got Nicholas Fleming from the University of Otago's Department of Pathology and Molecular Medicine. Dr. Fleming will be talking about his research on autoimmune disease or cancer when your genetics are indecisive at Umbrellos Tuesday next week. Good morning to you, Nick. How are we?
Oh, good, Zach. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Very, very glad to have you. It's been a while since we had a scientist in here.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It happens every now and then. I love talking to people about science. Some of your research focuses on how the immune system responds to cancer, with particular respect to bowel cancer. Was there any particular reason you specifically focus on bowel cancer?
Well, cancers are still currently our largest cause of death in New Zealand. It used to be heart disease, but cancers are now, because there's been improvements for heart disease, and so cancers are now our leading cause of death. And so it's a pretty good reason to try and stop cancers. And bowel cancers are our second most common type of cancer death. But for me personally, it's really been an academic interest because we've been studying cancers for about 50 years, and they teach us a lot about how cells work. So most of what we know about how cells work has come from looking at cancer cells and working out what's wrong with cancers.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, true. That's actually, perfect sense.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
There's no particular reason as to why you went into bowel cancer, not like lung or heart or kidney cancer.
Yeah, just chance, actually. Just when I was a young person trying to get a job, I ended up with a group of people doing bowel cancers.
Oh, true.
And I'm still doing it.
True.
Yeah.
Is it true that, you know, eating a lot of red meat is a big contributor to bowel cancer? Because I'm from Invercargill, Southland. Bowel cancer is a big killer down there, and a lot of people eat a lot of meat.
I like steak as well, so it's a bit of an issue. I wouldn't say big contributor. So it's quite important when we look at epidemiology to stay away from words like big, because when we say it contributes, it definitely contributes. Should you stop eating meat is a different question, right? Mm. Because so it's a contributor, but not a big contributor. It definitely alters your risk, but I'm going to continue to eat steak because I really like it.
Oh, for sure. I think people in Invercargill might need to reduce their meat consumption. They have it three meals a day, right?
Right.
2 years ago, there was a study published in the UK's Biomed Central Medical Journal showing that the colorectal cancer rates are declining in older New Zealand populations but increasing in younger ones, particularly Māori. The authors said that more research is needed to understand why. Is the cause any clearer now, or are there any more links we can draw?
I guess working out what causes cancer is really hard in the first place, right? You know, so it's and then trying to work out what's changing a 10% or a 15% or an 18% change in that rate is even more difficult, right? So it's actually a really difficult question. But for the older group, we do know that an awareness of symptoms amongst the population has really helped there. So people are going, you know, they're realizing they have symptoms that are meaningful. They go and get a colonoscopy, they get something taken out of their bowel, and that prevents them from going on to have a cancer. So that's part of the rate there. There's also a weird thing that happened about 1943. Something stopped being in our environment that must have been causing cancer or increasing cancer. And so people born after 1943 have a slightly lower rate than people before.
Really?
So that's kind of a weird thing. No one quite knows what that was.
Whoa.
But it's good that it's gone.
Yeah.
And then going forward, we've got this wonderful new test called the FIT test. That hasn't affected the statistics yet, but as we go forward to the next decade, that will really have an impact on colorectal cancer in older people.
Mm-hmm.
For the younger people, that's a really hot question, isn't it? And it's very, very important to try and work out what's causing that. And like I said before, it's very hard, but the leading ideas are processed foods, microplastics, or alcohol consumption. And I teach students a lot, and the good news is that it seems like a lot of students are drinking less alcohol than they used to, and so maybe we'll see a shift back in that statistic, let's hope. But it's actually, that's really our leading causes. Processed foods is a very complex issue because there's lots and lots of additives that are added to food. Some of those things alone have been safe, but whether in combination, whether there's an additive effect of eating a hamburger at a fast food place is something we need to work out.
Yeah, I'm not too sure if you've seen, there's this guy online in the States who's done this thing called a petroleum diet, and he eats foods that have petroleum derivatives in it, and tons of like fast food in the US just have all these weird industrial isotopes and so on and so forth in them. It's scary.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, yeah. Yeah, so eating natural foods as much as you can is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
But of course there's also a financial aspect to that.
So, there is.
So that's something else.
But I would, even if you can't afford to, go check out the farmer's market, because it does have some pretty good stuff. The press line for this talk says that the immune system is more important for fighting cancer than previously thought. Why is it that we're changing our perspective on our immune system in this way now? You know, has there been a lot of new research into this field?
Well, this is a really interesting question, and like I said, you know, working out what causes cancer and is really hard in the first place. It's like our bodies are a bit like a black box, right? We've got 60,000 genes, we've got at least 200 different types of cells, so it's pretty hard to work out exactly what's going on. And so we suspected for a long time that the immune system was important for cancers. And then we tried different therapies over the years based on that, and found that they didn't work very well, right? And so that kind of pretty much made us think, well, this is not as important as we think. However, about 15 years ago, we had these new drugs come along called the immune checkpoint inhibitors, and they worked much better than people expected. So, and that kind of confirmed that the immune system is very important in cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, we've got this a therapy called CAR T therapy. And that works in a completely different way, but still uses the immune system to fight leukemias normally. And so it's basically the success of those drugs that's proven that the immune system is important for fighting cancer.
Mm. I watched a video from, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Kurzgesagt in a nutshell.
No, I don't know that.
It's a very, very good science communication channel,
right,
on YouTube. And they point out that your body kills cancer cells every day.
That's
just
right.
The ones that sneak past your immune system are the ones that can turn into big tumors.
That's right.
Spread all over. When it comes to research, how much capital is being put into the immune system as a means of fighting cancer compared to, you know, chemo, radiation therapy, or viral therapy?
Well, you know, since we've discovered that the immune system is that important, right, so a lot of people like myself have shifted over to a focus on the immune system, and that makes sense, right? But even people who are working on things that aren't directly related to the immune system have their eye or have a side focus on the immune system, and that is because in the future we can see that for almost all cancers there will be at least a component of immunotherapy involved in their treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're coming up with a drug that does something else, you need to think about how that will interact with that immunotherapy, whether it can work together with that immunotherapy, or whether it might counter immunotherapy, which would be a bad thing, right? So it's actually we try and keep our vision wide, but really everybody's working on immunotherapy, trying to work out how to make it better.
Awesome. New medical frontier.
That's right.
That's great. The immune system, as I mentioned before, hunts and destroys cancer cells every day. It can find these cells by detecting what proteins a cell might be producing, and if the cell is producing a protein that might be problematic or weird, the immune system can react using killer cells to wipe out these things. But cancer cells can evade this process. And how do they do that?
Yeah, well, again, it's, you know, that black box made it hard to work that out, but because of the success of the immune checkpoint inhibitor drugs, they are targeting molecules that are on the surface of all of our cells, and those molecules are saying to the immune system, don't eat me. So when the immune system, say you're fighting an infection, you need your own cells to be protected, right? And so they express these molecules so that the immune system doesn't attack them. So cancer cells are very evil. They are always looking for the best advantage to continue dividing. And so what they do is they upregulate those proteins. And that's what the checkpoint proteins are.
Mm.
And so they upregulate those things, and then the immune system can't see them. It's like a cloak for those things.
Yeah.
And that's why the drugs work so well, because once you take that away, now the immune system can see the cancer cell and attack it.
Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating. And hearing the term oncogene yesterday, for the first time.
Oncogene, yeah.
Cool.
It's a cool word, isn't it?
It's a very fun word to say. I don't know why.
And there's a journal called Oncogene Journal. which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, cancer is really, really fascinating things. It seems like a key challenge to understanding and manipulating our immune functions is that we're all influenced by our own individual genetic profiles. You know, we're all quite different. How do we make treatments and technologies using our immune system when they do vary a lot person to person, or when they can vary a lot?
Well, if you're busy, if you've got some time on Tuesday, come along to my talk, because that's what I'm going to be talking about, or at least I'm going to talk about an example of that. So we're all different, right? We all look different, and we all are slightly different. And our genetics, we have billions of base pairs in our genomes,
mm-hmm.
and amongst those, there are about 4 or 5 million that vary between person to person, right? So you're probably different to me in at least 4.4 million different places, right? Which is crazy, mm-hmm. right? And some of those things alter the way that we look, so that's why you've got brown hair and I've got slightly different brown hair. but they can also affect our immune systems, right? And so that's a part of my research. And so if we can work out whether those things alter your risk of getting a cancer or your response to those drugs, and we know that, unfortunately, that even with these checkpoint inhibitors, a lot of people still don't respond to them properly, right? And we've got to ask why. It could be that their cancers are particularly different, but it could also be related to their own variation, their own genetics.
Yeah.
And so in the future, we'll probably have slightly different regimens of immunotherapy for different people based on key genetic differences between people. Mm. And so that's called personalization of the medicine.
And can people use these inhibitors if they might have an autoimmune disease?
Yes, so that's a developing area. Not so much the inhibitors, that's it, because actually that's doing the wrong thing. The autoimmune disease is going to, you want more
inhibitors.
Protection of your cells, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So. But CAR T therapy has been used for people with autoimmune disease quite beautifully. So changing the way that your immune system, targeting the cells that are causing trouble in your immune system in that autoimmune setting. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a few, that's coming along. So the difference between cancer and autoimmune disease is it's kind of like a two-edged sword, right? One is the immune system not attacking your cells properly, and the other is that it's attacking it too much.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at things on one side of the coin, it's relevant to the other side of the coin.
Yeah, totally. Such a push and pull relationship, yeah. Hey?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
thank you for joining me this morning and coming on the program. I really appreciate this chat, Nicholas. Do you have any final thoughts, words, or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Oh, not really. Just if you're in that older age group, go and get a fit test if it's coming up for
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ever told to get a colonoscopy, go get a colonoscopy. Don't be afraid of that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a younger person, go to the farmer's market and see what you can find there rather than eating something that looks like plastic.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, man. Folks, that was Nicholas Fleming, who's coming on to talk about immune system research with respect to the immune system being used as a tool in our fight against cancer. The global civilizational fight against cancer.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.